Be seated, and you might find it, you will find it helpful to find page 248 of the Old Testament part of your Pew Bible, which is the beginning of the book of Ruth that we're going to spend just a few weeks thinking about up until the end of January. Ruth is a name that means a lot to me and a lot to my family. You might know that our daughter Hermione's middle name is Ruth. Hermione was named after a very dear family friend of ours, Ezra's godmother. It was the winter of 2013, just after we'd arrived here. Some of you may even remember that this happened. But Ruth was skiing on holiday in Switzerland, as she did about twice a year, when she had a massive bleed on her brain as she made her way down the mountainside. By the time she got to the bottom, she was unconscious and spent the next week in a coma. It was a terrifying time for us as a family. Ruth was dearly loved. She spent as much time in our home as she did in hers. And of course, naturally, Kelly left the country and went over to Switzerland to be with her bedside and to pray with her and her sister. It was a terrifying time. I'm sure you've been through something like this. You don't really know what's going to happen. And so you pray and you pray. And after a few days, sadly, Ruth passed away. And I wonder how you feel when things like that happen. Perhaps the same as us. You think to yourself, well, where was God in all of that? God, what were you doing? We pray and pray, asking for it to turn out right. And yet, it doesn't. God, what were you doing when that took place? It's so hard to know the answer to that. It's beyond what our minds can fathom, in a sense, isn't it? And the message of Ruth is very, very simple. The message of the book of Ruth is this. Even in the darkness, God is at work. Even in the darkness, God is at work. That's what we're going to discover over the next couple of weeks as we look at this book. Now, every age in history has thought that their age is just the worst and civilization is on the brink of destruction. We always think that, don't we? The media always reports that. We often think that civilization is just a moment away from destruction. People have always thought that. In fact, Derek reminded me in the pub on Thursday that it was Socrates who complained about his own generation at the time of the height of classical civilization in Greece. He says this, the children of today, the children love luxury. They've got bad manners. They've got contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and they love chatter in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants. He said, that's how bad it's got in society. Not the servants of their households. They no longer even rise when adults enter the room, Socrates complains, thinking that his society was on the brink of destruction. And we often think that, don't we? Perhaps particularly today as uncertainty faces us over Brexit and all sorts of other things. Well, 1,200 years ago, before Christ, 1,200 BC, well, they had a point if they thought that civilization was falling to bits around them. This is a time in human history known as the Bronze Age Collapse. Great empires like the Egyptians with their hieroglyphics and pyramids and pharaohs and the Minoans who lived on Crete and the Hittites as well. All these great civilizations, great empires over a period of a couple of decades just disappeared. And no one really knows why. There are reports in the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics and things like that, that some people called the Sea Peoples came and invaded. There were great battles and huge migrations. There were big crop failures and things like that. But no one really knows why all these great empires crumbled to dust. This was a time of anarchy, a time when people uprooted and went to try and find prosperity somewhere else. And it's in that situation that Naomi and her family lived. We're told as much as that, aren't we? In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, Ruth begins, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. These are our characters. These are the characters for the Book of Ruth. And they're, like lots of people at the time, they're refugees. What's so wrong with the days when the judges ruled? Well, you can find out the answer to that just by looking above where Ruth is written in capital letters in your Bible, to the last verse of the Book of Judges. So a book all about this time period. And it says there, where there's the verse 25, "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." That's what life was like. There was no government. People did just what seemed best to them. Now, imagine a society where that happens for a moment. So imagine that the lorry drivers can't be trusted to take the deliveries from Dover to Waitrose in Christchurch. Well, it's not long before Waitrose in Christchurch has to close. Can you begin to imagine the horror of that scenario? What are you going to do? Well, you need to do what seems best to you. If there's people at home who are starving, where are you going to get your food once co-ops run out of food? Which doesn't take long, does it, when it snows or something like that happens? What are you going to do? Well, it's not going to take long before you start to steal. Who then can you trust? Well, you can only trust your family. And that's how society breaks down. And that's what happened in the time of the judges. Society became tribal. It became based on subsistence. You trying to make up your own foods. Civilization dies. There's no way when society does that to sustain all the infrastructure for a good civilization. Doctors and teachers and people like that. It's impossible. Life becomes about subsistence. Now, if we think we've got it bad, think about Naomi and her family. That's the world in which they lived. And so we meet our characters. There's Naomi, there's Elimelech, and there's the two sons. We're introduced to them, and by the end of the paragraph, they're dead. It's worse than Game of Thrones, this, isn't it? You meet the characters, you come to love them for a moment, and all of a sudden, they're gone. And one person remains, and perhaps it's the most vulnerable of them all. It's Naomi. It's the widow, too old to have children, too old to start again. What is she going to do? Her whole family has gone. Naomi is a refugee, living as an immigrant in another land. She's forged a lifestyle for herself, but all of a sudden it's gone. There's nothing left. She's lost a marriage which didn't work out the way she hoped. She's lost her family. She's lost her home. All her hopes and dreams have just crumbled to dust. And now she's utterly dependent upon the kindness of strangers. She's vulnerable and she's alone in a foreign land. And yet she'll discover by the end of the Book of Ruth that even in the darkness, God is at work. It's in the darkness of Naomi's situation, and it's a dark situation, that God starts to work. Two beautiful things happen. Even in the darkness, God is at work as Ruth chooses her family and as Ruth chooses her God. Beautiful things begin to happen in the darkness, though Naomi can't see it. Even by the end of our chapter, she has got no idea that God is at work. She's still in the darkness, but God is doing great things. Even in the darkness, God is at work. Firstly, as Ruth chooses her family. Well, of course, her sons die and she sends her daughters-in-law home as she prepares to go back to the promised land. She returns to God and returns to the land of Israel. She says, go home, see if you can find life in your mother's house. See if it'll work out all right for you. Neither of them want to go, but after a bit of persuasion, Orpah goes home. But Ruth doesn't. And she says these amazing words. Do not press me to leave you. This is verse 16. Or to go back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. Ruth chooses her family. Ruth chooses to stick with Naomi. You see, even in the darkness, beautiful things happen. Ruth chooses love over a full stomach. She chooses commitment to the marriage promises that she's made to her new family over the comfort of home. Even in the darkness, beautiful acts of love take place. And this is God at work. Well, how does Naomi feel about this? Well, looks like she's not really that bothered. Because when she makes her way back to Bethlehem, this is what she has to say. You can see this in verse 20. She says to the to the women who come to meet her, "Call me no longer Naomi." Now, Naomi is a name which means sweet. "Don't call me sweet anymore. Call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? Why call me sweet when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" She laments again. In the darkness, Naomi can't see that anything good is taking place. So something profoundly beautiful has happened to her. When life is at its worst is when true human love is often seen at its most profound. Thinking back to our dear friend Ruth, in that moment of great darkness, that's where you saw real love as a friend and a sister across 1,000 miles to be at her side. That's where true love is seen. It's a challenge for us as a church, isn't it? If you're in a bad place, if you're in the darkness and you feel that that's the way it is and life is just falling to bits around you, please say that that's the case. So British, isn't it, to say, "Oh, well, mustn't grumble and things aren't really that bad, or somebody else has got it worse than me." That's the most British thing ever, but that doesn't help you. It doesn't help you at all. It's the most British thing as well to retreat from public life, to hide yourself away when things aren't going well. If that's you, make sure you're here. Don't miss a Sunday. And if you're not in the darkness, but you know that other people are, be the family we often say that we are, church family, supporting and encouraging each other. Even in the darkness of her situation, Naomi knew that her place was with God and with his people. And so she returned to the land of Israel. And you need to do the same at times of darkness. Make sure you stick with God and his people in the local church. Even in the darkness, God is at work as beautiful things begin to happen, as Ruth chooses her family and as Ruth chooses her God. Those amazing words again. Ruth says to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." In the midst of all that desperation, Ruth makes a life-changing decision. And it might seem to us that that is a decision that Ruth makes purely on her own. But if we read all the way to the end of Ruth, we see that God has got a much bigger thing going on here than Ruth could possibly have imagined. Actually, the last two verses of the book of Ruth, you can just turn over the page if you've got a Bible open in front of you. And we've got a list of names, like I read from the Gospel reading. And these names tell us really what's going on in the book of Ruth. It's something we can easily miss, but it's so important. So Ruth ends up marrying a man called Boaz, and she has a son called Obed. It says this, that Salmon is the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David. And that David is King David. The best thing you get in the Old Testament, the closest thing to perfection on earth in the Old Testament. God reigning over his people in a place that's blessed. The time of King David, of course, just a pointer to God's much greater king, King Jesus, who is in the family of David, born in Bethlehem, where these events take place. Ruth makes a life-changing decision. But God is doing something even greater, even more amazing than Ruth and Naomi could possibly have imagined. He's paving the way for his king, for his once and for all chosen king, King Jesus. Ruth thinks that she's joining God's people, but more than that, God is adding to her to his royal family, the family of King David. Even in the darkness, God is at work doing profoundly amazing things. Things beyond our imagining. Something bigger is going on here. God has got a plan that goes beyond Ruth and Naomi. God is sticking to his promise to bless the world, the promise to send a king who will reign over the whole of creation forever. His plan was always to see all nations together, pagans from distant lands like Ruth brought into his people, so that we see that there's no one who's too far away from God to belong to him. Even in the dark, the offer of life is there. Ruth saw that in the darkness. Even in the dark, people will find that life because of their relationship with you. Naomi couldn't have seen this at the time, but because of her, Ruth would choose God and choose life. Even in the midst of darkness and despair, God is at work doing amazing things. So when you're in the dark, it's not the time to be told that everything will work out. Hey, it might not do. It certainly might not work out the way that you hope that it'll work out. At this point, at the end of chapter 1, Naomi's got no idea that anything good has happened at all. It'll be decades before she feels again the love of family. And she'll never get over the loss of her sons. When someone's going through terrible times, it's not for us to say, well, you know what, well, every cloud has a silver lining. Things are going to be fine. They'll just turn out fine. That's the way things always are. Happy ending and all of that sort of thing. We don't know that that's going to happen. It's not for us to say. We live in a world that isn't as it should be. A world where things are wrong, where bad things happen to good people and happy endings aren't guaranteed. It's not for us to say that to anyone who's suffering. When you're in the dark, it's not the time to be told that everything's going to work out, because it might not do. But God is doing something amazing. Even in the darkness, God is at work. God is doing something in the life of Naomi she could never have imagined. God is doing something amazing in the darkness, not just for her, but for others too, as she plays her part in the coming of God's king. Darkness puts no stop to God's good work. Even in the darkness, God is at work. We see that as Ruth chooses her family. We see that in the profoundness of human love. Even in the darkness, God is at work. We see that as Ruth chooses her God, and God continues to grow his people and grow his kingdom, even in the darkness. So when we're in the darkness, would we know that God is at work? And would we be those who work for God in the darkness of other people's lives and other people's suffering, as we love each other, cherish each other, and support each other as a local church? Amen.